Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I want to wish you a belated 4th of July. I had this sermon ready to go yesterday, just didn't record it. I want to talk today about America, past, present, and future. Psalm 33:12 says in King James Version, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Again, happy belated Independence Day, and it's still we're celebrating this week. As we celebrate this nation's 248th birthday, we really need to look at our nation's heritage and how God has prospered and protected us. There are three things to consider. We must never forget how God has blessed America in the past. We must see what God is doing for America in the present. And we must realize what God will do to America in the future. First I want to say is we want to recognize what God has done for America. America exists because God raised it up and plays a prominent role in her existence. He was revered in the first colonies. In Jamestown, Virginia, the first community building was a church, the only building with a wall that's still standing today. The first thing the Puritans did at Plymouth Rock was kneel, pray, and praise God and dedicate their new colony. Roger Williams, a Baptist minister, established Rhode Island. Lord Baltimore held church services when establishing Maryland. William Penn, the Quaker, established Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware, Connecticut, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. My, he was a busy man. When you read their writings, there is no doubt that God birthed America. William Penn, in writing government policies for Pennsylvania, made sure to include that all treasurers, judges, and all elected officials profess faith in Christ. Of course, this isn't taught in our schools today because the history revisionists want to defame our history and divorce God from all that has been done in the past. My, how far we've fallen. 21 years ago, the United States 11th Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with a federal trial court that the Ten Commandments memorial placed in the rotunda of the Alabama Judicial Building by State Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice Roy Moore must be removed. Judge Moore authorized the memorial to remind us biblical laws stand as the most groundwork of American law, or the moral groundwork, excuse me. His efforts resulted in his removal from the Alabama Supreme Court. Understand, we must be careful not to upset young people by telling them not to kill or steal or commit adultery, because we might hamper their activities, upset their fragile psyches. Our founding fathers consistently used the Bible and the Judeo-Christian values to define and preserve this nation. 12 of the original 13 colonies incorporated the entire Ten Commandments into their civil and criminal codes. We, of course, can't do that today. President John Adams said the law given from Sinai was a civil and municipal code as well as a moral and religious code. There are laws essential to the existence of men in society, and most of which have been enacted by every nation which ever professed any code of laws. Vain indeed would be the search among the writings of secular history to find so broad, so complete, and so solid a basis of morality as the Ten Commandments lay down. Contrast that with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the White House today, promoting abortion, same-sex marriage, sex changes, and wide open borders, allowing who knows what to come into our nation. The American Bible Society was started by an act of Congress. John Adams, our second president, served as its first leader. Our laws are based on the Ten Commandments and sound Bible principles. The Supreme Court building, built in 1935, has Moses and the Ten Commandments carved right into the front of its It's too bad that justices must enter the back way. In the House of Representatives, a sculpture of Moses is across the speaker's seat. I got to thinking how proud Moses must have been to share a seat with Nancy Pelosi for all those years. Maybe Mike Johnson is more compatible. President George Washington said it is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. He said of all dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, there are religion and morality are indispensable supporters. In 1782, the United States Congress voted a resolution recommending and approving the use of the Bible in schools. In fact, the Bible was the first reader for children. The Bible was taught in the classroom until 1963, when Madeline Murray O'Hare got her tail in a knot because her son William was being forced to listen to these religious things and went to the Supreme Court and won the case that the Bible needed to be taken out of the classrooms. And we've been on a downhill slant ever since. Henry Lawrence, the fourth president of the Continental Congress, said, "I had the honor of being one who framed the Constitution. In order effectively to accomplish these great constitutional ends, it is especially the duty of those who bear rule to promote and encourage respect for God and virtue. Patrick Henry, first governor of Virginia and a member of the Continental Congress, said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." The Constitution ends pointing back to Jesus. It says, "In the year of our Lord," our nation's motto is, "In God we trust." In our pledge, we say, "One nation under God." God birthed America, but America has slipped so far away from our roots. God blessed America, but we've compromised and are losing his blessings wholesale today. Let me give you a word of hope. Maybe things are turning around. We've been praying and asking God to send a revival to our nation. And I just noticed that Louisiana just passed a law to reinstate the Ten Commandments in the school classrooms. Also, 34 states now allow opening the school day with a moment of silence, which students can use as a time of prayer if they so desire. American history has tons of stories of God's miraculous intervention in times of crisis, but most history books are written by humanists who edit true facts out of the textbooks. In 1776, the Revolutionary War, British commander William Howe was moving 30,000 British soldiers to take New York. General George Washington had only 18,000 inexperienced troops. British troops outflanked Washington, who had lost 1,000 men and two top generals. Washington's troops were cold, hungry, discouraged. Some of them didn't even have shoes. Without any reason, the British halted their troops. Had they pressed on, they would have destroyed Washington's troops. Nobody knows why they stopped except God. Washington's army was trapped on Long Island. The only escape route was the treacherous East River. The weather was terrible. It seemed impossible to cross. Washington called for prayer to ask for God's guidance and help, and it was decided to try to cross the river. It was storming. Suddenly at 11 p.m., the wind and rain stopped, and the river became as smooth as glass. As the little army started across, a gentle breeze came up behind them to push them along. Even with this miracle, it still seemed impossible to get all the troops across to Manhattan Island before daybreak. Just before daybreak, a thick fog formed over them, hiding them from the British. When the fog lifted, British Commander Howe was shocked. Washington's troops had escaped. Washington and his men recognized God's blessings on America and praised God for it. You know, there are so many more stories of how God used the weather and other circumstances to help our military to gain victory. I won't go into it now, but I will say he used weather in the invasion of Normandy on D-Day in World War II. Go back and check the facts and see how God works. Don't take your freedom for granted. It comes at a high price. Alan Starr erected a monument in Arkansas to the 241 servicemen killed in the bombing of Marine headquarters in Lebanon. With $2,000 and used bricks, he built an 8-by-4-foot monument with a bronze plaque that says, "Lest we forget that peace has a price." As you celebrate our independence this July, remember your freedom isn't free. Just ask a parent who lost a son or daughter in a war, or ask a child who lost a father or a mother, or even better, ask a soldier who lost a leg, arm, his sight, or was injured for life. What has God done? He birthed America, and he has blessed America for 248 years. Well, what God is doing for America is what we need to look at now. He sees how far we've fallen in the 248 years since our birth in 1776. He sees that the sin and corruption of our sexually promiscuous society has taken over. He sees that 62 million plus babies have been murdered for the convenience of women and men who want to play around but don't want the responsibility for their actions. He sees the drunkenness, the drug addictions destroying lives today. He sees the violence and murders occurring daily in this once God-fearing nation. He sees the perversion of gay lifestyles, sex changes, the critical race theory, the accusations of white supremacy. God is totally aware of how wicked and rebellious the United States of America has become. He sees the lying and cheating in our politics and elections. He sees a belligerent nation that's forgotten its roots and is completely out of control. Because God knew this was coming, he inspired the Apostle Paul to write in 2 Timothy 3:1-7. He wrote, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." You wouldn't think that was written 2,000 years ago. You'd think that was currently in the newspapers today. How long will God continue to bless America? Someone will say, "Well, we are a religious country." Listen, religion isn't the answer. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." And I want to remind you, America has forgotten God. Today, there are more churches than ever, more corruption, hypocrisy in government, and like I said, more churches than ever. Where is God in all this? We must have a national revival if we hope to survive. But the problem is, I was reading the other day about 60% of the churches and the pastors have gone woke. And we don't need to go woke. We need to come awake and wake up to the fact we need to get back to God. In our history, every time the nation strayed too far, Christians became awake to the problem and prayed, and God sent revival to put us back on course. A blog written by Patrick Morley outlines the seasons of revival in this country. First was the Great Awakening in 1734 to 1743. The second Great Awakening was 1800 to 1840. Our businessmen's revival, or the businessmen's revival, 1857 to 58. The Civil War revival from 1861 to 65. The urban revivals from 1875 to 85. The Welsh revival, 1904 to 1906. The Azusa Street revival, 1906. The post-World War II awakening, the charismatic renewal and Jesus movement, and then in the 1990s, some revivals. But there hasn't been a spiritual awakening in America for well over a century. I had hoped that the meetings that were taking place at Asbury College in February 2023 would be the start, but it seems to have lost its momentum. The nation has become more and more corrupt and is ripe for God's judgment. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations forget God." America, as I said, has forgotten God. This generation has never experienced a revival, so they don't know what they're missing or what to look for. You know, Christians need to pray for a God-anointed, heaven-sent revival. I will remind you what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Each revival or spiritual awakening leaves its own heat signature. In 1740, youth led the way. In 1857, businessmen and prayer took center stage. In 1906, the Azusa Street Revival was decidedly interracial, and yet all share common themes. What are the most frequently mentioned characteristics of revivals and awakenings in literature? Well, first is timing. Revivals emerge during time of spiritual and moral decline, which leads to intense prayer. We better start some serious prayer, I'd say. Then prayer. God puts a longing in the hearts of many to pray for revival. Then the word. The preaching of the reading of God's word brings deep conviction and desire for Christ. And number four, the Holy Spirit takes people to a spiritual depth they could not achieve on their own. Conviction, then, affected sinners are inconsolable except in Christ. And so they all of a sudden begin to call upon God for mercy. And then there's the glory for God. God receives praise, honor, and glory for bringing revival. The seventh step is reformation and renewal. Revival produces lasting fruit. New ministries are started, and society experiences a reform of morals as more and more people convert to Jesus Christ. Manifestations. Manifestations like fainting, groaning, prayer, and miracles vary by culture and denomination. And the last thing, the second to last thing, revivals are messy. Revivals are messy, controversies swirl about miracles, abuses, excesses, suspicions, and theological disputes, to name a few. Revivals inevitably crest and decline. Jesus' world was a lot like ours. Governments and established religion were corrupt. People were lost. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me." Today, our world is so messed up that people joke about Christ's return. All the false rapture predictions that are going on haven't helped. But by the way, Jesus is coming back, and Jesus is speaking to lost people. of all the religions of the world, how do we know that Jesus is the way? Well, when it comes to eternal life, Confucius is dead. Mohammed is dead. Only Jesus claimed and proved victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave, and he's alive forevermore. If you've lost direction or purpose, follow Jesus, because he is the way. He is the truth, and he's speaking to educated people. The world says there are no absolutes. Truth varies among individuals. Jesus said there are absolutes we can depend on. The big lie too many people buy into is it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere and it helps you. Your belief doesn't create truth. Truth is true whether you believe it or not. For instance, if you don't believe in gravity, go out and jump off a building and see what happens. Check out your belief and see that it's truth. Jesus is the life. He's speaking to longing people. The bottom line is, people are looking for something worth living for today. 1 John 5:12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Why are people lost? Because they haven't come to Jesus. Why are people not finding truth? Why are people not living a real life instead of just existing? America is where anyone can hear the gospel, and we are greatly privileged because of the fact we can go to church when we want to, we can turn the radio on and listen to sermons, we can turn on the TV, and on and on and on. There's no shortage of ways to hear the gospel today. God's watching what you do with your privileges. What will you do with Jesus? Well, the third thing we want to talk about is, what is God going to do to America? The Bible teaches that God is going to judge America. History is filled with the wreckage of nations that forgot God. And unless America turns back to God, we bought the farm, and we will soon take our place in line with the wreckage of nations. What a sad commentary when our Supreme Court judges cannot legislate a decision on Roe versus Wade without being threatened and harassed by morally depraved demonstrators because they want to murder babies for their own convenience. America is the modern Sodom and Gomorrah, and God is not going to tolerate it much longer. America will be judged. Billy Graham said, if God doesn't judge America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God warned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, in the last days, people will be deceived and will believe a lie rather than truth. America is weakened because they've dismissed God and bought the lie. History has proven a republic, and by the way, we're not really a democracy, we are a republic. A republic is always temporary in nature. It simply can't exist as a permanent form of government. A republic will continue to exist until voters discover they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From then on, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits from the public treasury. The result, every republic will finally collapse over loose fiscal policy, which is usually followed by dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. Remember, this year we celebrate 248 years. During those 200 years, nations progress through the following sequence. They go from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to governmental dependence, and from governmental dependence back to bondage. Where do you suppose we are today? I'm not sure we can turn this nation around. We've ignored God too long, and we've let every evil and perversion into our society. You know, not only have we let God down on our God-given heritage and morals, we've compromised the point of average American thinks God is a swear word or a word to punctuate their language. By the way, people have said, well, how are you going to vote? Who do we vote for? I will tell you this. We as Christians have no business voting for the party that promotes abortion, gay marriage, and all the things that are going on today. We need to vote for a party that says, no, that's enough. We need to turn back to God. God warned in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, in the last days people will be deceived and will believe a lie rather than the truth. America is weakened because we have dismissed God and bought into the lie. Romans chapter 14 verse 12 says, so then every one of us must give an account. When you stand before God and he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? How are you going to answer? If we took a survey asking people, how many of you plan to burn in hell forever? No one with any sense plans to burn in hell forever. If I ask how many of you are born again for sure, not all of you would raise your hand. When are you planning on getting right with God? God says, 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? This week, we have celebrated our independence and freedom. Listen, if you want to celebrate real freedom, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This will be or is either your day of liberation or a day you'll be forever judged for rejecting Jesus Christ. Happy Independence Day, week, month. Remember, it's far more than hot dogs, Coke, or Pepsi and apple pie. It's to stop and celebrate what it's cost to bring us to the freedoms we enjoy in this nation today. Dear Jesus, I'd pray that you'll wake America up. As individuals in America, I pray that you'll wake us up, that we might realize that you are the way, the truth, the life, that nobody comes to the Father except by you, and that, Lord, you are blessing America or you're going to put punishment on America because of our reaction. And I pray, God, we will turn back to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Listen, if you want to get a hold of me, remember it's box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can send me a Gmail. Well, I don't get very many of those because I got so many of them. But anyhow, you can use my telephone number, 623-845-2741, to either text me or call me. And I'd be glad to pray with you, be glad to try to help you in whatever need you have today. I'm not preaching at First Baptist Church for the next couple of weeks. I hope to be able to get back there before very long, like 2 weeks from Sunday. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. Amen.